Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. On May 24th, just before 5 a.m., a fire was called in. The food land in Colborne was burning down. It would be a devastating blow to the community, as it was the only grocery store. Within no time, the residents responded. Offers for rides or to pick up groceries filled social media. Municipal staff jumped in to provide coordination. The reaction was immediate and heartfelt. Calls went back and forth between Northumberland Community Care and Mayor Mandy Martin to organize a bus service to pick up residents at three locations and take them to Coburg for groceries. This was on top of local volunteer efforts. On today's show, you'll hear the story behind the efforts of the community and organizations to help residents of Colborne and Cramie. Mayor Mandy Martin and Community Care Executive Director Trish Baird will tell the story behind the story. I'm so pleased to have with me today Mandy Martin, Mayor of Cramie Township, and Trish Baird, Executive Director of Community Care. Welcome to both of you to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mandy, I'd like to start with you. Can you describe what has happened as far as what you know at this point regarding the fire?
We're talking about the fire at the food land in Colborne last week. The food land is a very important grocery store. It's the only large or established grocery store in this community, Cramie Township, serving people in Colborne and a broader area. And it caught fire last week, and it's out of commission. It is being, as we speak, it's being razed. So it has been under investigation by the fire department or fire marshal's office and so on. And there's been a cleanup going on throughout the weekend and so on.
It's my understanding, though, there was something like 30 firefighters that fought the original fire. Is that correct?
Yes. And it quite incredible. Here they are. Most of these people are volunteers. Only the fire chiefs and the deputies, for example, will be paid. The rest are volunteers who come from all over the place, you know, drop everything and rush. And to see them running around in full gear, in full equipment, responding, and initially they couldn't even gain access. The smoke was so thick they couldn't see their hands in front of their faces. And of course, all that raises the issue of toxic smoke and what is burning, et cetera, et cetera. But very coordinated, and they set up a panel outside and they're assigning and coordinating. It's amazing to see it work. And it's a wonder, for example, when something like that catches, then you're in a neighborhood. I mean, is there going to be blowback? Is there going to be ember going off into a tree or something? You think of Dartmouth this morning, for example, and I think how fortunate we were.
How did you find out about the fire?
I had a call it was 5:45 in the morning. My CAO, the Cramie Township CAO, Holly Grant, called me to say there's a fire and there's been a response. And our fire chief had already been in touch, you know, the chain of command and letting everybody know.
What was your initial reaction?
Oh, no. Oh, no. And concern, great concern. Like, is there anyone in there? Where is everybody? Is everybody safe? That's human safety is primary. And then you consider everything else thereafter, right?
Of course. Did you go straight out to the fire? When did you get on scene, or did you go out on the scene?
I did immediately. I got dressed and went immediately to the scene.
You mentioned earlier that this is the only grocery store in Colborne Crammy serving that area.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head the history of that grocery store? Because my understanding is it hasn't always been Foodland, and there's actually quite a long history to it. Do you happen to know any of that?
Well, there's always been a grocery store in Colborne. There used to be several, as a matter of fact, in days of old. There used to be various locations in the downtown Main Street, and then in the 80s, this building was built, and it became Fox's IGA. So the building itself, where the Foodland was, which was sort of attached to other existing structures, didn't come into existence until the 80s.
Can you start to describe what's been going on in the community to respond to what has happened?
Well, of course, there are quite a few people who live in Colborne who do not drive for whatever reason. I mean, they're elderly or they're young or whatever. And then there are others that, you know, economically challenged, et cetera. There are all these needs, but a food store is sort of like a post office used to be. It's a hub, a social hub of the community. Everybody recognizes, you know, that contribution, the stability, the food stability that a grocery store provides in a community of our size. And by the way, people come from Grafton, et cetera, to shop there, or en route home from somewhere they're commuting to Brighton or beyond. The Foodland became this, it's much like people who go to Muskoka and stop at that burger joint on Highway 400 North. Well, that's what Foodland is to many people. It's a rite of passage. People love to stop there because of the ambience, because they got service, they could pick things up, there wasn't a hassle. So it became very, very important. It's very important to on a wide range of reasons. Immediately, people started thinking about food security and how are they going to get food? What's going to happen? And people wanted to volunteer or get organized. And they began talking about what can they do to help the owners of the Foodland, for example. You know, we want them here. What can we do to support you? And so I called to the county, too, just to let them know what was happening. The response was terrific, and community care, unbelievable, stepped right up to the plate. What can we do? How can we support? This is the strength that we have here. And I do say Northumberland County, we get that we have to work together and we'll do what we can. Not all things are going to work out all the time, but this is our response. We pull together and we find solutions. And for example, the Food for All warehouse in Coburg immediately sent extra food down for the food bank. The local food bank announced that they were going to open 2 days a week rather than one. There were a list of volunteers within the community organizing themselves to be drivers, to take people or to take orders for people at other grocery stores out of the area. And I was particularly pleased with our own Crammy Township staff, who immediately jumped on it and began coordinating and saying, you know, give us the information and we'll act as the go-to for all these groups and so on. So that, you know, the load doesn't fall on any one group or person or whatever, and we can coordinate it and nobody gets burned out. There's the immediate situation. And then of course, now we're looking at the long haul. What's going to happen? You know, there are no good Foodland fairies out there. Poof, you know, you got an in-store. We have to talk about all that. So we have to look at the long haul, the longer haul, how we're going to sustain this community.
Trish, who called whom?
Well, social media is a wonderful thing, right? So I think I was probably getting up and doing my thing. And, you know, I always kind of check in on Facebook or whatever and saw this, and probably close to around the same time that you were talking about, Mandy. And of course, after the thinking of, oh, like, thank goodness the fire departments are there, knowing what the impact of a grocery store being out of commission, even if it's only for a short time, my immediate thoughts were, what about our people that we serve in Colburn? What about the people that walk to that store? You know, without a grocery store, it's you know, those are fundamental to communities. And my thoughts immediately jumped to, I think it was about a year and a half ago, the same thing happened in the community of Apsley.
Yeah.
I know the community care Peterborough there was quite involved in helping. And so I, you know, sent a message to a couple of my staff that are responsible for our transportation and our Meals on Wheels program that, you know, early saying, hey, this is happening. Let's start brainstorming. What can we do? How can we help? And I mean, they're the ones that come up with all the grand ideas and do all the great work. So trying to think, you know, how can we help with transportation? We already have a great close relationship with Cramie Township with having our commuter connect and our vans that are there. So it's, you know, we know the people, they know us, so it's easy to work with them. And then from a Meals on Wheels perspective, our staff were thinking, okay, how can we, you know, bring in some more meals. If people need some frozen meals, let's have them on hand because we have to order them ahead of time. So thinking in those ways. And then of course with volunteers and like Mandy was saying, everybody, you know, jumps into the fray. Lots of emails going back and forth from the county, from the municipal staff at Cramie Township. I happened to be in Coburg that morning and found out we were having our first community diners in Colburn that day. First one since COVID.
Yeah.
So we had 38 people coming to a noon meal. Well, quickly, Donna Russo, in all of her wisdom and smarts, you know, we canceled that. And that food that she had available at community diners was able to feed the first responders. And Donna's such a great asset to the community. So just things like that, very quickly working together and just letting people know that we're there when we're ready to talk, then let's figure it out. So
if we were to step back for a moment, none of this happens instantaneously. It's like years and years of development of programs, of putting different pieces in place, to developing these to certain levels. I mean, this is years and years of investment in community care and learning cooperation, like you were talking about earlier, Mandy. I wonder, starting with you, Trish, can you give us the context?
I mean, yeah, you're right. We've been working years in transit, and transportation is always a challenge. It comes up in every community planning, but there is a lot going on out there, and it does speak to the commitment of multitude of people that understand all of that, whether it's a municipal councillors, people in the community trying to strengthen their communities. And nothing happens quickly. But when you do, when you look back and you think, well, what was it like 20 years ago? We really have come along and we've developed those relationships. And that Community Connect is a great example of, you know, private corporations and public and municipal coming together to try to solve it. It's not perfect. It's not ever going to be perfect, but I think there's just that commitment to, we want our communities, we want a high quality of life in our communities. So how can we help those that need that extra step up while also providing a service that everybody equally needs? I don't know if that really answers your question, Robert, but maybe Mandy has some insights.
I was going to say, Mandy, could you reflect on this in terms of how things develop and how we get to this point so that we can do these kinds of responses in a moment of crisis?
Well, I think having gone through several crises, one learns. For example, the winter storm where we were housing people and so on, but that was based on a response that comes from a community that simply says, we're going to do something. It's not people just sitting back waiting for somebody else to do it. So there is, as long as you are building that atmosphere and that relationship with other people, not to be afraid. Like, we're going to fail at some things, or it won't be perfect or whatever, but that doesn't mean we don't try and we get the better answers. And heaven knows, through COVID, we had to adapt, you know, so dramatically to so much that was going on in our lives. So we all recognize that we have to be able to change very quickly. And I also would say, that's the nature of actually much of Northumberland. We've always had to do it ourselves, really. we weren't large enough to get the big bucks, you know, we weren't large enough to get go yet or whatever. We have to do all this stuff ourselves until they sort of, my goodness, look what they're doing there. And we do it well, and we do it within a framework, and we do our pinch pennies and find money and find resources and other ways to do things. I think that's one of the huge strengths of Northumberland County. We are very adaptive. We have the talent, we have the smarts, we have the brains within our group. And we just have to tap each other and support each other, support one another. That's the big thing.
I think in addition to that, we also learn, and we're not afraid to ask questions. I mean, and I think about myself when I reached out to Community Care Peterborough that morning to say to their executive director, Danielle, what was really important to the community of Apsley when that fire happened there? And she was, you know, just reassure people, we will help them. We'll figure it out. But I think that people were just very, you know, upset and concerned about people that work there, but also, you know, themselves. So just, you know, what's important, and don't be afraid to ask people, how can we, what is the best thing, and learn from other people's experiences.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about what's being done. So Trish, maybe you could explain, what is it that Community Care is doing?
Sure. So we quickly, with the municipality support, provided a commuter service into Coburg, to the Coburg Foodland, because my understanding is the owners own both buildings, Mandy, the Colburn and Coburg. So an emergency one went on Friday for those that were needed it right away. We also have a list of volunteers that would be willing to help take people to get groceries. And we have set up a schedule for the next 2 weeks, twice a week, to head into, with three stops within Colburn, to head to the food land in Coburg. So we are committed to doing that with, for people. It's no charge for this coming 2 weeks. And then we will look at it during that time to say, is that the appropriate time? Is that the appropriate day? Are people using it? Are they finding other ways? Because to Mandy's point, this is going to be the long term. And there's a lot of people that need those groceries. So we have one of our vehicles available to do that. And we'll look at over time. And then we also are just spreading the word where people can go for food, as to the food bank or, you know, food cupboards in the area. I think there's a lot of groups that are doing some campaigns to do some donations for that. And then with our Meals on Wheels program, if people are interested in that, they can order frozen Meals on Wheels from us, or, you know, once a week hot meals. I think it's probably more than once a week, twice a week, our hot Meals on Wheels program. So
it would be good, maybe, if you could explain, if I was somebody that was interested in using this service, how would I go about doing that?
So you would phone, of course, I don't have my poster in front of me, but you would phone our Community Care. You could phone the 800 number, and they would send you to our transportation department and just say, hey, I want to take the bus to Colburn on Tuesday, or I want to take it on. And there are three stops within Colburn. So you would just identify which stop you will be picked up at. It leaves in the morning and then heads back. I think it's there for an hour at the Foodland and then back to Colburn.
And is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I just think it's a great service and a wonderful, it's a reassurance to people. So maybe they're not flocking to it, but there was a great calming effect of that announcement. In other words, that there is something here, you can use it and take advantage of it. Everybody's thinking, everybody's got your back. So in some ways, you know, while there may not have been lineups to catch the bus that first day, knowing it was there was a huge calming effect on the community and people.
Both of you have referred to this in our conversation about the long term. What's the thinking generally at this time? I'll start with you, Mandy. Where's your head at on the long term, and what's unfolding?
Well, I mean, obviously, we are lobbying very hard as a municipality to have a food store remain here in Colburn. And so we are putting together all the stats, all of growth projections that are coming are 500 approved already, new homes that are coming on board, and the population now. We're also putting together potential sites, whether they want to go back on this site or another site. We are putting together the planning and the industrial and so on options that are available. We want to work very closely and have said to Sobeys, who is the parent company, that we will do whatever. We want you here and we're going to support you. And they have said that they very much appreciate what we're doing in terms of compiling potential sites, compiling the stats for the growth, whatever. We are building the case and mean to take it and champion it.
I guess it's hard to imagine why they wouldn't just replace it. Is there truly a threat that they might not come back? I just find that very surprising.
I am surprised at nothing anymore. Nothing surprises me. Is you bring bean counters into it, and who knows?
Has there been some indication to you that
No. But you always have to think about that. You know, don't just assume. Like maybe there's another community growing quicker, you know, more quickly or rapidly or whatever. Like you have to stay in the game. You have to make your case. You can't just assume that everybody knows what we know.
Trish, long term, how are you imagining this, or what sort of things is going through your head as you look down the road a bit farther? Mm-hmm.
I would say we would be staying the course. I mean, we've been providing transportation and we can adapt to whatever the community needs. So if we have people riding that bus or needing that service, we will be there to help help them get there. Certainly, you know, cost is always it doesn't happen, you know, without money. So we would be looking as we move forward to how can we help fund this service so that people in the community can get to Cobourg, or, you know, we can support volunteers. Volunteers are they're a wonderful resource, but they also have costs, and everybody's feeling the pinch right now with rising costs. So with gas up and, you know, those are extra things. So that's a concern for us, but we want to make sure that people that need that can, and our community is very generous and people will come, will help out. And I know that whether they're helping to subsidize some of those drives or bringing meals themselves or bringing food or picking up people, the community will be there. So we will be there with them, providing the transportation service. If there's anything we can change or improve upon, we're open to that.
Just if somebody's listening and they might like to contribute one way or another, either financially or through volunteering, what should they do, Trish?
If they are computer savvy and use the internet, they can go to our website at comcare.ca, and all of the transportation options are there. All of the donation options are also there, and they can specify that they want that to go to help subsidize transportation for Colborne Cramie Township residents. And if not, then they would just call our phone number and ask to be connected with somebody at in the transportation or the donor relations office. So that would be helpful. That would be great.
Mandy, if people are listening in your area and they want to become involved or they want to help on whatever level, what should they do, please?
Well, they can call Janet at our municipal office, 905-355-2821. It's extension 222. And she is coordinating all the volunteers, making a list of everything that's and connecting people. So that is a one sort of central spot that they can connect and find their way to whatever they want, rather than trying to find it here or there or everywhere. But they're coordinating all the volunteer activities that are going on to date.
And if I'm somebody sitting at home and I'm not sure what to do, or I have lots of questions, again, Mandy, what should I do?
Again, call us at the municipal office. Call us at the municipal office. Or, you know, we too have a website, cramie.ca. And lots of information and postings and whatever. But by all means, reach out to any of us. Call me, call any of the counselors. But if you want an immediate answer or whatever, a plug in, you're not quite sure just what you want to ask even, then call Janet or our municipal office and we'll plug you in.
Mandy, any final thoughts from you?
I just want to thank everyone. Just thank the volunteers, the people, this community and beyond, and the county, how it all pulls together. I mean, so much of it is volunteer, and let's not forget that. And that to me shows a real ethos, a real spirit that you value and honor. And I say thank you.
Mandy Martin, Trish Baird, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Robert.
That was Mandy Martin, Mayor of Cramie Township, and Trish Baird, Executive Director of Community Care. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.